Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to Colossians, the second chapter? We'll pick up in the 20th verse there. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we ask now that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, draw us to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In past years, there's been some horrific discoveries of mass suicide. You may remember Jim Jones and the hundreds of Guyana. And then there was the Heaven's Gate group, the Heaven's Gate cult that followed Marshall Applewhite. These followers in cults lived a life voluntarily submitting to a bunch of rules and regulations, and in doing so, took their own lives. Now, in both cases, they followed strict guidelines every moment of every day. They were told what they would wear. They were told when they would get up. They were told what they would do. They were told what they would eat. They were told when they could sleep. Day by day, everything was dictated, even till it came to their own death. Now, those are extreme cases of legalism. But I want you to know legalism is a reality, and legalism is a danger to those who know Jesus. When people get the idea that Jesus, the Bible, the Holy Spirit is not enough, they begin to create their own list of do's and don'ts, and they have this idea, if you follow that list, if you follow human regulations, that you can live a life that's so good that God is going to honor you and bless you and raise you to a higher level. Legalism turns the Christian life into misery, and it robs us of joy. Now, when we talk about legalism, that's the opposite of license. License are those that believe, hey, I got Jesus, I'm going to heaven, forget any rules, I'll live any way I want to, I'll do anything I want to do, all sin is open to me, I have a license because I got my ticket punched, I'm going to heaven. Let me tell you what's wrong with that thinking. Probably, if you think that way, you don't have your ticket punched. Probably, if you think that way, you've never really met Jesus and surrendered to him. But legalism is the opposite approach. It's the idea that Jesus is not enough. It's the idea that you got to have Jesus, but you got to follow all these other things. It's the idea that you've got to follow the list of all these do's and don'ts that men put up. Now, when I warn against legalism, it doesn't mean that there should be no standards. It doesn't mean that there are no commandments. For we know what the Bible teaches. I'm not negating clear-cut teachings from God's Word. The Bible makes it really clear there's some things we shouldn't do. Listen, it is wrong to murder. It is wrong to lie. It is wrong to steal. It is wrong to commit sexual immorality. It's wrong to gossip. It's wrong to worry. Yeah, that's what I said. It's wrong to worry. It is wrong to fail to tithe, it is wrong to fail to witness, and it is wrong to fail to worship. Now, God's made all those things exceedingly clear in the Bible. But legalism plagues the church because legalism adds things to what God has said. In the Middle Ages, there were monks that would cloister themselves away, and it really became apparent why they would cloister themselves away. They would live away from everyone. They would take vows of silence. Yeah, I'm not afraid of Baptists doing that. They would starve themselves. Well, we're not up for that either. Certain groups of monks believed that bathing was worldly, and so they wouldn't bathe. Maybe that's why they lived to themselves. They actually developed lice, and they believed lice was a sign of holiness. They turned Christian belief into a legalistic farce. And some still do that today. There's still a legalistic spirit that says, you got Jesus, good that you got Jesus, but that's not enough. There's more that you need. I have said this before, I will probably say this many times again. When people add an "and" after Jesus, they go too far. Jesus is all we need. If you follow these legalistic groups and you go from group to group to group, you'll find that they have their different list. They're not all the same. In some places, you'll find strong prohibitions against smoking. In some places, you'll find strong prohibitions against drinking. I've learned that not all have the same. I've been in some places that would preach and jump up and down against drinking alcohol, and you know, I can understand that, but they wouldn't ever say a word about somebody smoking. And then you would go out after church and you would see the little groups that were sending up their burnt offerings, and you would know why they didn't say anything about smoking. You see, a problem with legalistic groups is when people move into legalism, they basically stand against the things that they don't do anyway. And so it's almost a hypocritical stance. Some groups forbid wearing makeup. Now, I stand with those that believe any old barn can be helped by a coat of paint. That's not directed toward anybody. I'm talking about barns. Four basic elements of cults show up in the book of Colossians. There's ritualism, the fact that you can act your way to God, intellectualism, thinking your way to God, mysticism, going through some experiences and getting closer to God, and then legalism, that you can earn favor with God by what you do or don't do. Paul contrasts legalism with true Christianity. And we find legalism is governed by outward regulations. In verse 20, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Paul is saying, if Jesus has delivered you from the prison of your sin, has forgiven you, has saved your soul, why in the world would you build another prison based on men's regulations? If God has pulled you out of this world, then you need to be pulled out of the world. A legalistic church is a horrible place to be. It really is. There is no joy. There is no victory. There is really no happiness. And in spite of what some people think of the church, we're to be a place of joy. We're to be a place that's uplifting. We're to be a place that's not beating people into the ground. We're to be a home of the faithful and of love. But in legalism, they base their whole faith on a series of what you do and don't do. Legalistic people are not happy people. Why, if Jesus left heaven's throne to go to a cross to die and free you, would you think you're going to be more spiritual because you do certain things and you dot certain I's and you cross certain T's that are not really in Scripture at all? In verse 21, he speaks of legalism. He says, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which concern things which perish with the using. Phillips paraphrases this and says, do not take the slightest notice of these human prohibitions. Don't touch this, don't taste that, don't handle the other. This, that, and the other will all pass away. Notice it's all built on the negative. No. That defines Christianity as a negative life. Can I tell you, it's not. Christianity is positive. We have a positive Lord who positively loves us, who positively gave his all for us. Don't spend your life on avoidance. Just trying to avoid doing things. Just trying to avoid not going against man's built-up rules and regulations that don't have any tie to the Scripture. I grew up in the South like many of you, and we have pine trees. If you follow the legalist code of just being spiritual by what you don't do, a pine tree would make a pretty good Christian. Pine trees don't curse. Pine trees don't drink. Pine trees don't smoke. They don't dip snuff. They don't dance. They don't steal. Let me tell you something I found a pine tree does do. It makes a mess. Those who live their lives focused on legalism, dealing their lives only from negative to negative to negative, leave a mess. Legalism also focuses on things that are passing instead of things that are lasting. In verse 22, which all concern things which perish with the using. In the New Testament, they were caught up with what people ate. If you ate certain things, you couldn't be godly, and so they were caught up on this. In Mark 7:6, the Bible says, Well did Isaiah say of you hypocrites, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship, in vain they teach or as doctrines the commandments of men. He goes on to say, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pots and cups and many other such things. All too well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your traditions. Human rules and human regulations are exactly that. They come from a human understanding, from a human heart, rather from God and God's desires. Colossians 2:22 says, which perish with the using. You get caught up in these things and you're caught up with the temporary. You're caught up with things that are not going to last. You know, we've had time periods for rules. There was a time in my life that your spirituality was measured by the length of a man's hair. If your hair was long, you were wrong. Some of them never looked at pictures of Jesus that they displayed, but you know the concept is if your hair was too long, you know you just kind of ruled people out by the length of their hair. Women, well, if they wore pants, couldn't be spiritual, and so there were those that taught and thought those things. You know, the problem with legalism is people get all tied up in things and forget the things that are really important. Listen, when some rule or regulation becomes more important to saving a lost soul, you're thinking wrong. You're trying to deal with something that's going to pass away instead of something that could last for all eternity. We should keep the main thing the main thing. We should keep our eyes on Jesus. We should keep our eyes on His Word. We should follow Him. Listen, we don't need to add doctrines and commandments of men. Legalism focuses on what man wants, not really on what God wants. In verse 23, "These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, they neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." Legalism leads to falling away from God and God's desires. It needs to be rejected because legalism pumps up pride. When you get people that are real legalistic, they get very prideful in what they don't do. They get very prideful in their negative world. Paraphrase says, "I know these regulations look wise with their self-inspired piety, their policy of self-humbling, and their neglect of the body." Listen, God wants us to live by a personal conviction. When God convicts our hearts by His Holy Spirit, He tells us what we shouldn't do. Or God will lead us by our heart to know those things that we should do. It's one thing to have rules, but if everything comes from the outside, you're not being governed by God. It's another thing to develop convictions about the power of God in your life. If you develop convictions from within, the Holy Spirit doesn't harden you. But if you've ever been around legalistic people, they tend to be very hard. They tend to be very abrasive, harsh, proud of who they are and what they've accomplished, and it really is about what they can do. Don't spend a lot of time gloating on what you do or don't do. This way of living moves you away from God. We need to be convicted by God. We need to follow convictions of God. We need to live our lives according to God's word and God's purposes. And we don't need the other things coming from man in that way. Some Christians grow in the Lord. Some people just get swelling up with pride. Legalism should be rejected because it leads to building yourself up instead of building Jesus up. And it doesn't have any power. What you do or don't do will not give you spiritual power to stand in an evil world. Verse 23 says, "Neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." You want spiritual power to be able to deal with the things that come at you, the things that attack you, or the things that are coming from this world at you. Listen, you're not going to get it through legalism. You get it through surrendering to Jesus. An outward remedy cannot solve an inward problem. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around an alcoholic. I have. If you're around an alcoholic, what you tend to tell people that are alcoholics is you don't need to drink. Are you sure you need that drink? Why don't you just stop drinking? You know what? You can bully alcoholics. You can get them in programs. I don't care if it's a 12-step, 15-step, 20-step. You can get them through all kinds of programs. You can send them the way to special centers that work on alcoholism. But if it's all outward pressure, you let them get away from the program, away from the steps, and all of a sudden they're back in the bottle. How does an alcoholic get away from alcohol? They got to have a heart desire to do it. They have to choose on the inside because you're not going to pressure them on the outside. the negative is only part of a Christian life. And it is part. There are some negatives in the Christian life. We're not to steal, kill. We're not to commit adultery. There's some things we're not supposed to do. And if you love Jesus, you'll want to move away from those things. But the emphasis of the Christian life is not on what you don't do, but on what Jesus did. The emphasis on the Christian life is not what I can do, but what can Jesus do through me? The only hope I have of being anything in this world is submitting myself to Jesus Christ. And so it's not outward regulation, it's inward transformation. In verse 20, if you died with Christ, Christianity is an inside job. It starts when you die with Christ. Now, if your Bible says, if you die with Christ, that if actually should be the word since. Since you died with Christ. Well, you know, when did I do that? When Jesus went to Calvary's cross, when he took your sins to that cross, you died with Christ. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Christian faith has a death, a burial, and a resurrection. If you are a believer, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Positionally, when Jesus died, you died. Your old sinful life died on that cross with Jesus. Personally, that death became effective for you when you invited Jesus to come into your heart and to save your soul. What happened when Jesus died on the cross then became your experience. And what he did with your sins becomes effective for your salvation. When you come to Jesus, you are a dead man or a dead woman. You know what dead people don't do? They don't worry about a whole bunch of rules. Dead people don't drink, cuss, chew. They're dead. Since you are dead with Christ, why do you worry about man's guidance of do's and don'ts to get spiritual? That's not going to work. Move into chapter 3, verse 1. Since you were raised with Christ. Now see, you got to get the whole picture. We not only die with Jesus, we are buried with Jesus. Our sins go into the grave with Jesus. We come out of the grave with Jesus, and we're without the sins at that point. He has taken them completely away. We have a new life. We have a new purpose. We have a new joy. It is what God gives us through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice for us. When we receive him, we receive all that he did. So it's not about what I can do. It's not about what I can accomplish. It's not about what I can earn. Oh, it's all Jesus. And what he has suffered and bled and died and was buried and rose again to accomplish. I have a brand new life because Jesus gave it to me. I have a joy that the world can't give, and you can't get it by legalism. I have a fullness that the world cannot provide, but Jesus can provide. Listen, I have a basic happy life. The world wants to be happy. If you got Jesus, you have the ticket. You have the way. You just have to yield to him. And he builds that happiness up within you. Does that mean that you go through life laughing when things are sad? Well, no, not always. But I'll tell you this. If you got Jesus, you can find a smile in the midst of tragedy. Because his power is greater. And what he's done can open a door of power to you to deal with the things of life. Legalism can't do that. God gives us a newness, a life lived not on the basis of law, but on the basis of God's love. Life is not about what we can or can't do, but about what Jesus has already done and what he can do if we will yield to him. It's not about me showing, oh, I'm somebody because I do all these things. No, it's about Jesus is somebody, and I'm yielded to him, and I just pray that he will do something, be able to do something through me. As there is a change on the inside in your heart, what you're going to find is God begins to direct, and God begins to say what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And you know what? One of the things you're going to find as you walk with the Lord, you're going to find that when you sin, it bothers you. You know, when you sin, Paul, as a believer, after he walked with Jesus, and listen, Paul had to be such a strong believer. He said, I am the chief of sinners. Now, he wasn't. I think I have that title. But why did he think that? Because the closer you get to Jesus, the worse your sin looks. And so he knew in his life any sin was too much. And certainly in our lives, any sin is too much. As we draw closer to Jesus, we see more of his grace, more of his love, more of his power. Hey, you get closer to Jesus, you're able to forgive people better. You're able to let stuff go. Hey, did you know you're supposed to let stuff go? You know, legalism holds on to things. Legalism stacks up all your faults. Oh, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus died and was buried to take them all away. Jesus builds in us a life that we cannot build on our own. If we could, if you could do enough good things, if you could do enough things that obeyed enough rules that would build your way to God, Jesus would have never left heaven in the first place. He came because we needed him. He came because he is our only answer. And today, Jesus is the way for life and peace and happiness and fulfillment and a life that doesn't pass away. Everything you do in Jesus, everything Jesus does through you, we'll be talking about 10,000 years from now, because they won't fade and they won't pass away. Everything you do on your own, all this legalism things that you cross off thinking you're so good by doing them, they'll all be gone. All be gone from reality, all be gone from minds, all be gone from talk. Because all that is done for Jesus will last. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever invited him to save your soul? You're not going to work your way to God. You're not going to get good enough to get to God. I've had people tell me, well, when I get better, I'll come and I'll accept Jesus. No, you won't. You'll never get better. You'll never get that good. No, you know how you come to Jesus? As a poor lost sinner. Knowing that you can't accomplish anything on your own. But Jesus did it all. And so you open your heart and you invite Jesus to do what he wants to do. To forgive you, to save you, to apply what happened on Calvary to you. That you might know him for eternity. If you want Jesus, just come forward. Just say, I want Jesus. We'll pray together. He'll come into your heart today. Maybe you're a believer and you've kind of put other things in the, instead of Jesus, and you've got your checklist, and you're going by your checklist, and you think you're good. Listen, it's only Jesus' guidance that matters. Let's put our thoughts in His Word and allow His Word to permeate our hearts, and His Spirit will guide us in thought and in deed, and Jesus will show you His glory. And maybe today you need to rededicate your life to Him. It all starts yielding to Him. And in yielding to Him, you find true victory, true joy, true peace. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank You for our time together today. I pray, God, that You would move within our hearts. Father, in this room and listening, there are some that have never met Jesus as their Savior. Maybe, Father, they were thinking that they would one day get good enough, but Father, let them know that will never happen. If they want salvation, if they want forgiveness, if they want hope, if they want peace, it only comes by yielding to Jesus. And that's what needs to happen right now. Father, draw people to You. Draw people to the altar. Guide us to decisions we need to make. I pray for Christians, Father, that we would submit ourselves to Jesus. And in doing so, Father, we would find Your victory and grace. Thank You for what You're going to do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would You come?